Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod.
Crazy, might just turn around to 180. I ain't politicking, I ain't kissing no baby. The devil on my doorstep being so shady. Don't trip.
All right, LA guy. Rick Fox, jersey behind you. You want to talk about your Los Angeles Lakers?
I feel like I
souls of the Portland Trailblazers.
I mean, we made it clear a couple weeks ago that this is a Lakers podcast, so it's only fitting that I wear my Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim hat and my Rick Fox Nike swingman jersey hanging, which it should be hanging in the rafters at Staples, if you ask me.
Obviously.
Rings!
You know, I did Lakers trivia for later on, by the way. And this is not one of the questions, but I considered having it one. What is Rick Fox's real first name?
Daniel.
It is Ulrich.
Oh.
Ulrich.
He's like the Metallica guy, right?
Yeah.
Lars.
Lars.
Except he's less against Napster as that guy, I'm pretty sure.
Actually, I
don't know that. I can't speak for Rick Fox in that way.
In the year 2020, isn't it hilarious to look back at the fact that, like, Lars Ulbrich v. Metallica versus Sean Fanning was,
yeah,
like, this monumental,
yeah,
Supreme Court ruling.
And I remember, what were we, middle school, high school at that point? When was that? That was, like, late 90s when that happened?
Mm.
And I remember going from, you know, being a fan of Metallica, generally liking Metallica, to being like, these guys are kind of assholes. Like, they have millions of dollars. They make most of those millions of dollars on tour. And I really like downloading free albums. So fuck those guys, right? And then you get older and you realize, like, you know, intellectual property and all that good stuff. But like, man, that made me real salty at Metallica. I actually probably haven't recovered since that. Also, they haven't really made a heck of a lot of
money since then. They haven't recovered from that.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you they're doing just fine.
Well,
no, they're doing fine, but
music-wise,
they just have to go around and just do Enter Sandman, and they're like, oh, here's $1 million.
Like, every time Mariano Rivera came out to pitch, they got like $30,000 in royalties or something. That's not true.
Do you remember the year Rivera retired and the All-Star game was in Kansas City? So it was his last, of course.
Well, obviously, you remember.
And they brought out Metallica to sing when he came in live.
I don't remember that.
Didn't quite carry the same weight. It was a little awkward.
Wait, so in the All-Star game, they brought him out.
I'm pretty sure they were like in the outfield. I could be wrong. I feel like that was a thing.
I don't remember that.
Wait, so call back to last week. Was Lars that guy at the Indians games with the drum?
Yeah.
Wild thing. Do, 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 do. Like Kirk Hammett's like, like air guitar in the outfield. That would be fantastic. I don't remember that, though.
I made some other mark. Was it a... Was it Trevor Hoffman, I think, came out to, like, Whom the Bell Tolls?
That sounds right.
And, yeah, they had like, two or three going, like, prime guys there.
Closers are all about the shtick. You kind of have
sit,
to.
You sit in the dugout like, for 4 hours.
If you're going to throw 15 pitches max on a bad night, then you better have something good. All right, so how are we feeling about Portland? They're done, obviously.
Portland is seven.
So they're not acting. Yeah, Portland is seven. Okay, Ski. All right. Sticking with it. I respect that. You make a bet, you make a bet, you gotta go down with that flaming ship, right? It's okay.
Well, I mean, Dame being out can only help things, right? The team's just gonna click now.
Maybe they put Swanigan in now. That'd be sweet.
The king.
Yeah, King Swanigan.
Oh, I think he's a Sacramento King.
Oh, is he a king?
I don't think he's on the roster. No, well, they did. But I think he was in the Ariza trade.
Oh, that's right.
I thought they got him back after the Ariza trade.
That's what
again.
I thought, too.
I don't think so.
No, he plays for Portland.
I don't think so.
He's current team, Wikipedia, Portland. Deal with it.
I don't know if he's in the bubble or not.
Yeah, he might not be on the roster right now, but he is definitely a Portland Trailblazer. Says he will not play when the NBA season restarts in Orlando. He cited personal reasons.
Yeah.
He is definitely
I like how you could use that personal reasons instead of you're probably weren't gonna play anyway.
He is definitely on the Blazers though. Because he was part of the trade and then they released him because he's garbage and then Portland was like, yeah, I guess we'll have him again. Sure, why not? He'd be in our G League. Or on this current roster, have a spot because they're not deep at all and they're bad.
Caleb Swanigan has not played a game since February 10th against the Phoenix Suns.
That's a long time. The Suns, who should be playing the Lakers right now, am I right?
March 10th, March 10th, whatever. Okay.
All right. That's about when everything happened.
Yeah.
I think it was the week after. But anyway, so how are we feeling about Portland as a franchise right now? Because now we're faced with the – it's funny listening to local radio now because we're faced with the same questions that we have every offseason with Portland. And I realize they're not in the offseason yet, but they will be soon. Obviously, that's after they win a title, right, Ski? After they beat the Lakers in 7.
Yeah, they still got it.
Okay. But we're faced with the same questions that we're faced with every Blazers offseason, and that is, how do they make themselves better? And then we're faced with the same realization that we're faced every offseason, and that is, they can't. The current players have to get better for them to be better. So it's happened, luckily for them, recently with Dame and CJ developing and becoming really good players. But in terms of signing free agents, it's not really a thing. And that's kind of started to shift a little bit, at least in the last year. I mean, they got Melo to sign, but Melo also had been out of the game for a season. And
nobody was signing Melo.
And by the way, he's not coming back either.
Like, no, and Melo shouldn't.
No.
His play was good enough this year to afford him to sign, actually going to a contender.
Yeah, to sign
for a contender. So good for him to finish out his year or two, and yeah.
I could see him ending up in Brooklyn or something like that, just because
his family. He's a contender.
Well, his family likes New York. His wife likes living in New York. I think she's still there. And then you play with Durant and Kyrie, and you're automatically a contender. So
last podcast, King said they're not contenders because of Kyrie.
The Brooklyn Knots.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Knots.
We'll see how that turns out when KD is healthy and Kyrie.
Kyrie is going to be searching for Christopher Columbus by December 1st. He's non-factor. That guy is an astronaut.
Didn't we look that up or something? Chris Columbus's body, like where that is or something?
I might be making that up. I think so. Indiana or something.
Yeah, no, it's like Italy or some shit.
It wasn't outside the Conseco Fieldhouse next to the Larry Bird statue.
It's under the Larry Bird statue. That's right.
Yeah.
That was it. My bad.
But as kind of a little pivot, there was this big fight on social media today amongst Blazer fans. Basically, do you see the Blazers having a path, not necessarily with this roster, but just period, as a member of an NBA, as an NBA franchise, do you see the Blazers with a path to ever winning a championship again? Because if we're saying no free agents, you would throw that path out, right?
Yeah.
It'd have to be trade only, really.
Or draft.
Or developing. Well, the problem is they always sneak in, so they're never getting lottery picks.
Your window's not that big.
Is they got a Of course they got to get lucky. I mean, you look at the Spurs. Yeah, I know that's going back a ways, but they have Robinson, who can never do it. He timely got hurt. Wink, wink. They kept him out all year. Bang, Duncan. That makes getting the Parkers and the Ginobili's way better. Look at the Thunder pretty recently. I mean, that their fault was Presti got rid of the wrong guy.
Like, yeah.
He should have kept Harden and shipped Westbrook.
Oh, God, yeah.
And all, but in fairness, different. It was a different league then.
Because you look at Golden State this year, I mean.
Well, and that's the thing is Golden State, I know KD came in and turned them into a super Voltron. Yeah. But, you know, they won a title with three drafted guys. And again, luck, because Steph was hurt off and on for a bunch of those years. Mm-hmm.
When you go this year, yeah.
And then, now they're going to have the second pick, too. It was so funny.
Yeah, now they get the second pick.
It was so funny watching Steph sitting there while they're doing the lottery, just like, like, you assholes. All you do is talk shit about us all season long, and we're just going to be right back next year, and we're going to have a top pick. Which, by the way, who the fuck knows what a top pick in the NBA draft is going to be next year?
I think they're going to trade that pick.
Okay,
I think that's the rumor, is that they trade that and something else for someone ready to win, like, now.
That was something that really struck me while I was kind of in and out of that lottery show, and it struck me how I don't recognize any of the names they were talking about. Like, not one college basketball player that they were talking about did I recognize.
I mean, it hurts that March didn't happen.
I know.
And then that's what I'm saying. It also hurts that, like, Wiseman from Memphis was done before Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but generally,
okay,
yes.
Okay,
I get your point.
Other than LaMelo, obviously you recognize LaMelo Ball's name. And he's apparently a top five pick.
Apparently. It's all measurable.
Some really big things overseas while his dad is shutting up.
But that's the danger with the NBA draft now, is you can't – it's such a crapshoot after, like, pick one or two. But even that's a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. But you can't just go off the college guy without measurables who average 22.
Yeah.
It's literally better to go for that rando dude who will average 11 but is 6'9" and can jump. So it's hard. It's – the NBA draft – I mean, that, I think the draft – is the only way the Blazers have a path to the championship. Because, mm-hmm. How different would the Blazers be if they had just drafted Jordan? You know, that's the easy – I mean, that's the easy answer. But more recently, if they had a roster of Roy, Aldridge, and KD, we're probably not sitting here lamenting the sad sackness of it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, isn't the only way to get out of this is they have to trade CJ?
I think they have to. I don't think they can do it with Dame on the roster, to be honest.
Hmm. Oh, you think Dame can't be a guy?
No, I think Dame can be a guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dame can ever – they'll never be bad enough with Dame. And, of course, they can get lucky. You know what I mean? Kawhi was not an early pick. Klay Thompson was the 11th. I mean, of course, that's always a possibility. But – banking on that is kind of silly.
So part of you kind of hoping the ACL was torn or something like that?
I don't want to say that.
Next season.
Don't want to say that, but but that's an injury that doesn't mean as much now as it did even 5 years ago, let alone 10.
Yeah.
It would have been that window where you go,
The issue, though, is that Portland's ownership and leadership, like Neil Olshey is not going to just, you know, tank a season. He can't.
He won't.
He will not do it. So that would mean him going out and overspending, or at least trying to overspend for somebody, or, you know, or doing something drastic like, you know, trading.
Why would you say Neil Olshey would ever overspend? I mean,
weird, right?
Did Al Farouq Aminu happen? Did Evan Turner happen? Did Myers Leonard happen?
Hey, boys.
Did they really try and sign that white guy who was from Houston to Memphis?
thank God for Hedo Turkoglu's wife.
Hedo Turkoglu's wife?
Yeah.
Hedo Turkoglu's wife, not a fan of Portland. Do not bring up Portland to his wife.
Totally blanking on that white dude from the Rockets that they tried to sign.
Ryan Anderson?
Parsons no. or something? Was it? Chandler Parsons.
Yeah. Parsons.
And when they went to Memphis, everyone was crushed. Yeah. What a woo! What a stinker.
Nothing. Yeah.
I didn't even play.
By the way, you know who's a
free agent? I think he lives in Tennessee.
You know who's a free agent coming up? Nicholas Batum, boys.
Ooh.
Nico.
Here's a question. What happens first?
No comment.
Do they trade CJ or do they shit can Stotts?
One, there is no way they're trading Dame King. That is never going to happen.
No.
Like Dame is not going anywhere.
No. I never say never. Right. What is he on? Like, does he have 5 more years left?
It would have to be like the end of his deal, man.
Well, no, that's what I think. He's 30 now. They're not trading him next year. Duh.
Is he really?
Yeah, he just turned 30, I believe. That's the thing. That's where the clock starts up.
That's what happens when you go to college for 4 years.
Yeah. Right, but that's where the clock goes, because if you trade him now, which is not happening, I'm not even saying that, the contract is a big boondoggle because they owe him a lot of money, right? But if you do it in a couple of years where there's – if you're just – you're venturing that there's some team out there that is like, yo, we got a 2-year window. 33-year-old Damian Lillard, let's go. And I think if you traded him at that point, I think Blazer fans would be okay with it.
Yeah, you understand the strategy.
Now, if he goes to the coming off a knee injury a couple years before.
Now, if they trade him to the Lakers, that would be a little sticky.
How are we on the cartilage situation in Dame's knees? does he, in fact, have cartilage in them? That's my question.
Not a Brandon Roy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because to your point, Ski, that's what we've been hearing for 2 years now, is are they going to trade CJ? And CJ's – the problem with it is he keeps getting better. He's kind of leveled out this year a little bit, but every season he seems to get better as a scorer, not as a defender, but that's never going to be, you know, his game. And so,
well, the other thing also is now you got the emergency.
And now you got Nurk who's getting better too. I'm not sure I buy into Trent at all. Like, I mean, he had
It's him and you got Anthony Simons also that you're gonna want to start working in. I mean, CJ's first couple years. You saw some kind of promise in him, and then he finally got some more minutes. And
you saw some promise in him when the season was over, and he was the guy playing 40 minutes.
Well,
the scorer because Dame and CJ weren't playing anymore.
I mean, it's like any sport, any professional sport. You need minutes. You need at bats to, like, you know, get
somebody
accustomed
has
to playing.
Score.
Yeah. So they, I think they have to trade him. Because I think they have no chance to win with CJ and Dame.
No,
they have an outside chance to win with Dame.
They're too duplicate. They're too similar to win together because they're both 6'2" or whatever, and they don't play defense, which is – Steph Curry doesn't play defense either. You can have one of those guys.
Exactly.
You can't have two.
Yeah, but Klay Thompson does play defense.
That's what I'm saying is you can have one. You can't have two.
Yeah.
I could see them trading CJ if they kind of go with that Rocket/Thunder mentality, where they're just like, fuck it, let's do a wacky trade. Let's just swing for the fences, bring in a name, because the Rockets are doing that.
Right.
And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Because he's good enough to be in one of those. And I don't know. I mean, that would be supposing that I know contract statuses, which I don't. Like, I don't know if Karl Anthony Towns is a free agent and leveraging and hasn't, you know.
Sounds like he wants out of Minnesota.
Well, of course he does, and he will leave. But that was just a random name I picked.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's actually worth getting either.
If you chuck CJ right now, you get to pick one player in the NBA. Who would you take on this to make this Blazer team better? I mean, it has to be a small forward or a power forward, right? It has to be a forward. It can't be another guard or a big man, because if you have Nurk and you have Dame, you need that guy that's 6'8", 6'9". I mean, you could obviously say Kawhi, or Durant obviously fits that role, but
it probably like hits you.
Who's a realistic player that they could potentially get? Either.
If we're talking about that 1 year swing for the fences deal, it's not Paul George, but it probably gets you in that Paul George territory. Mm-hmm.
Well, Gordon Hayward's about to be a free agent, and so I'm not convinced Gordon Hayward's actually good.
He's good.
He averaged like 17 a game last season, coming off of that really bad injury that Nurk is coming off of, basically the same thing. He got paid $31 million last year, Gordon Hayward did. So he's not going to get that deal, but his agent's going to ask for that deal because he just got it. So I know for a fact Portland doesn't have the kind of money to give to a guy like that. So if you can do kind of like a sign and trade deal, maybe where where Boston signs him and then you ship a couple guys to him. I don't know even who that would be. Maybe CJ and whatever. And then you get Hayward in and then you pair him with Dame and Nurk and, maybe you have something, but I'm not sure that he's that much better than CJ. Because,
I'm not sure if he's better than CJ.
At all. Yeah, exactly.
But like you're saying, at least he's different. Like you said, Dame and CJ are
different doesn't necessarily mean better.
It does when they have duplicates of the same player on the team.
That's fair. That's fair.
You see what got hurt, what's killing them right now is they have no one that could even remotely slow down AD or LeBron. They have no forwards.
I mean, Ariza would help. But they still would lose the series. Sorry, Ski. But he would be a guy. And I think he's on the roster again next year for $12 million, I believe.
Who are you talking about?
Ariza.
He is, yeah.
But that's the hard thing about the NBA is you can talk about these like fantasy trades, which we're doing, which is fine. Yeah. We all kind of recognize that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I see Ariza as, though, right? As kind of like a guy they bring in to trade later, maybe? I don't know.
Well, he's either a guy you bring in to trade or mm-hmm. he's that, like, random seventh-best player who does one thing well. Because, I mean, he won a couple titles with the Lakers, I believe.
Yeah, which is – he's a great role. He's a great person off
exactly.
the
bench. Exactly. But the hard thing about the NBA is when we're talking about these fantasy trades, like, oh, Gordon Hayward, CJ McCollum, Kemba Walker, like, they're good players. Their numbers look good. Are they really difference makers?
How many of those are there in the NBA?
That's my thing. Is as a one or a two, are they really difference makers?
Two hands. You can fit them on two hands. And that's probably it. And Gordon Hayward's not one. CJ's not one. Dame is one.
Dame is a guy who could, as a number two, could win an NBA title.
Oh, my God.
Can't win it as a one. Too small. Yeah. Deficient on defense. But
that's the thing. You bring in like Anthony Davis to Portland. Portland probably wins the title.
Right. I mean, yeah, fantasy wise, you trade for AD. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just need two. And Portland's perpetually been stuck
one and a half.
I was never that as high on Brandon Roy as some people were. Same. But he was like a second team All-NBA guy a few times. I totally get it. But again, when he was ascending, LaMarcus was young, and they've never fit that timeline.
Yep. And then he went to San Antonio, and then LaMarcus started to go downhill. It's literally just a timing thing. They just didn't work out.
I think the Blazers, unless you're just saying straight up draft, be bad for 3 years, get lucky in the draft. Unless that's your plan, they have to do like the Bob Whitsitt thing where he's just like, yeah, I'm trading for Sean Kemp. Might not work. Yep, I'm trading for Scottie Pippen. Okay. Yep, Steve Smith. Hey, Derek Anderson, you said you're the Kobe stopper. Come on in. Hey, Ruben Patterson, getting you. Detlef Schrempf, you're old, but I can trade you for this. You just bring in these names and you hope it worked, and it almost worked.
Well, that's what they did with Melo. They did that.
They did that. Yeah, they did. Oh, absolutely, they got lucky with that.
I forgot all about them having Detlef.
Yeah, oh, God, what a squad!
Amazing. He was on. I finally finished Parks and Rec a couple weeks ago.
He
was on Parks and Rec with John Ralphio. That was so fucking good. that's a great cameo.
Especially the other guy in that got a shit ton of money that was never very good. Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert. Oh, that's gross. Right.
Laker legend, Roy Hibbert.
Oh, God.
But
before we get off Blazers, where are you guys on Stotts?
Well, I have two things. He's good at drawing up offensive plays. Okay. Terrible at defense. Okay. Some of that is scheme. Some of that's probably the fact that you have CJ and Dame and okay, I get that. But my other thing is if Terry Stotts is coaching the Lakers, do you not think they're up 3-1 and looking like the favorites? I mean, does the coach in the NBA, when you're really good, how much does the coach really matter? Because like Frank Vogel, I don't know if he's going to win it. If he wins a championship, are you giving him any credit?
I know.
No, but he's a good coach. He got the Pacers to the Eastern Conference Finals. He's a scrappy little coach. I'm just not sure if coaches elevate anymore at the very top like they used to.
Well, do they hinder, though? Because, I mean, at least over the last two games, the Blazers are literally just like beating a dead horse in the offense that they're running. They bring the fucking high ball screen to Dame. And the Lakers figured it out, and they're just swamping him up there.
Oh, they're
nothing is working there. And the best, like when Dame's like it gets hot and gets into like his Dame mode, that screen's not always coming to him. He could go one on one, and hadn't seen it once in the last two games. It's always that same high ball screen, and Dame gets fucking muddled up at the top.
That's true.
That worked for the entire bubble up until a few days ago, basically. And then the Lakers, being the best team in the NBA, like they are, figured it out and started playing some defense against it and started swarming. We like to talk about the Lakers as like an offensive entity, but they are good defensively. And they're
defensively than offensive. For
as bad as Danny Green is, Danny Green can play defense.
They are smart defensively too, which is really helpful because they know those sorts of things and they're veterans and they've seen all of this stuff before and they know how to stop it. And so even with Vogel, it doesn't really matter. They've all seen it before. They know how to adapt and stop those sorts of things. And the Blazers don't.
Well, and for all the shit we've given
one trick ponies, like you were
KC
saying.
Given KCP and Danny Green in the bubble time, is when your best player is 6'2", and he comes off a screen, and bang, there's someone who's 6'5".
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a lot,
but
when it's game after game and possession after possession, when they switch from Caruso being annoying and scrappy to 6'5", Green or KCP, and wow, you get by them, okay, have fun. There's Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long. Right, for you to get just gassed.
You know, one of the...
And they're gassed.
One of the telling things about this entire series was Dame coming off a screen, going into the lane, and trying to dunk over Anthony Davis.
I love that, though.
Like, are you... Like, I realize you're Dame Dalla. I realize you're one of the best players in the league, but you are not dunking over Anthony Davis. Not many players in the NBA are dunking over him. And the fact that he was feeling himself to that degree that he was going to try it was like, okay, this is the Portland's a little too into themselves right now. This is not going to bode well for the rest of this series. And sure enough, like they got stuck in their one thing that they did well for, the entire bubble and then didn't adapt. They didn't change. And then now they're starting to get banged up and, a couple games ago just completely gassed in the fourth quarter. Like, that was sad. It was hard to watch.
Nurk was hurting so bad out there.
Nurk is – he's done.
It was like watching –
I don't blame him. It's fine.
It was like watching a dying animal. It was. Oh, man, just lay down. Like, just
but isn't
stop.
This kind of rinse and repeat every playoffs with this
Well, it looks like the Western Conference Finals last year, to some degree, where last year was a little different because the Blazers were always up by 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the middle of the third, you're like, oh, here come the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And then by the middle of the fourth, you're like, oh, yeah, Golden State's going to win. And they swept them. But, game – well, even game one when the Blazers won, the end game, and in the middle of the fourth, they're just they don't have the legs.
No.
Yeah. And they played essentially 9 playoff games before the Lakers played. You can argue their first one against the Clippers meant something.
Lakers were coasting.
They were coasting.
That. Yeah.
And that's
that's the only way they had a chance to win was that first game. You had to keep the Lakers under, 100 points.
Right.
And then when they scored 130 to 120. Yeah.
I'm not making an excuse. LA's better. Duh.
Yeah. No.
But you can see, again, this kind of goes back to a reoccurring Blazer themes, that sometimes you can be like, their first team is really good. But they don't draft well enough because, they don't. I mean, O'Shea didn't really draft Dame. He was here, but that wasn't his guy.
Trying to say Collins and Leonard aren't, big-time draft guys, I guess?
No, or Nassir Little or Wenyon Davis or really even Gary Trent Jr. But that's the thing is the Blazers are in that hard position where they're market-wise and record-wise, it's so hard to see them being good enough to where someone like Andre Iguodala is like, you know what? I'll come in.
Right. Just, that
just
guy,
to be a
that
depth guy, or Sean Livingston or just it's hard to see.
So I do have a list of the top, free agents coming into this offseason. And these are guys with the player option. There are a bunch of unrestricted free agents too. That have bird rights, which, by the way, Hassan Whiteside is one of those guys. He's unrestricted free agent, but he has bird rights with the team. So if the team wanted to re-sign him, it would be for a whole bunch of money, and that's probably not going to happen. So Gordon Hayward, DeMar DeRozan, which, he's 31 now, is still a really good player, but is he that different from CJ?
He does. He wouldn't help it. He's a mid-range jump shooter with Dame trying to hold the ball. Yeah,
how much would he help, really? Yeah. Otto Porter Jr., another small forward. You got,
that'd be a good guy to have, but not.
Yeah, Andre Drummond. Anthony Davis has the player option, but he's obviously going to re-sign with the Lakers. And then Batum, and then Tim Hardaway Jr.
Woo!
How old is Batum now? Is he 34?
He's 31.
31? Jesus. Still only 31.
Hey, how many points do you think he averaged, Ski?
Trying to think what team he was playing for.
He played in 22 games for Charlotte this year.
For Charlotte. I'm going to say he averaged a cool 7.8 points a game.
How about you, King? What you got?
I'm going to say an annoying 11.3.
3.6. Woof.
Woof.
He averaged more rebounds than he did points, 4.5 rebounds per game.
How?
He got paid $24 million to do so. Woof.
The NBA, man, doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man. I don't know what they're feeding the agents over there in France, but whatever it is, I want some. So, I don't know. It's going to have – if they're going to better themselves, it's going to have to be via trade. And when you're coming up with possible trades, it's literally just making stuff up off the top of your head because you have no idea what other teams want or what they're interested in.
You got to fit so many different players in there. It's not like baseball where it's like, all right, here's one good guy and one good guy and then four guys you've never fucking heard of because they're all minor leaguers.
Yep.
I do love the fact that the Blazers have the highest salary cap in the NBA.
Brilliant.
Just, I mean, how?
Brilliant.
How?
How? How?
How?
Gotta use every inch of it, right?
Jesus.
How much is Melo getting paid? I don't even know. Is it like a team-friendly deal at all?
Has to be.
I mean, I can find that out, I guess, but... Because you think about the guys they brought in, you bring in Whiteside, you bring in Ariza, you bring in Melo.
Well, they brought in Whiteside knowing it was going to cost a lot for a year. I mean, that's all Whiteside was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same thing with, 1 year, $2.15 million they got Melo for. That's a fucking deal.
Probably like the veteran minimum.
That's a deal for him. Yeah, veteran at his experience too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's there's like levels to that.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for them getting him for that. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. I guess we're in the same place we are every year with Portland.
Yep.
Depressed.
Rinse and repeat.
Depressed. Here we are.
And good news, the next season's fucking like 3 months away.
Whee! Well, they were moving that back, right? Didn't Adam Silver came out and said, you know, that, you know, December or the November December starts probably not going
to
happen.
I thought it was like Christmas Day was supposed to be the start.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen now.
Yeah, I know Blazers season ticket reps have been making the rounds this week, and they're saying could be December.
About that,
probably could be March,
January or February.
It'll probably be. Yeah, and I think they were saying probably beginning of January.
I mean, if you're waiting to the end of the year, you might as well wait and, you know, a vaccine comes out and then.
That's a big assumption, too, by the way.
Because, you know, they're not going to go back in the bubble. Once the playoffs are done, the bubble's gone. So they'll have to.
Done,
Yeah. All
right.
It's been good times. I've enjoyed the bubble.
Yeah. It was fun for a while, wasn't it? Until it wasn't anymore. And now we get to watch the Lakers win a championship.
Does that bug you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't bug me that LeBron's winning it. It's funny to me that LeBron's going to win a ring because of how he was, you know, welcomed into LA.
That's my thing is if the Lakers win this one, as a lifelong Blazers fan, I don't care. It's a soulless, vacuous, like they're not the Lakers to me. They're LeBron making a very smart business decision and bringing in a bunch of his friends for a couple years.
Also, AD, by the way, one of the best basketball players.
Right, but he's not going there. Yeah. He's not going there if LeBron's not there. No, let's be honest. He's not going there to start over in a big, you know, big market.
But
he's
not that good. I'm more just referring to like the murals getting painted over.
That's why I think it's – that's
the
why
– fans hating him after they got off to like a rough start or something.
I cannot wait to watch Laker fans – who for decade plus said LeBron fucking sucked and threw paint on his murals.
Yeah.
He's better than LeBron to be like, well, what I was saying was,
exactly.
Because that's going to be funny to me.
Yes.
You guys are really
Laker
just
fans.
Huh? You guys are really just chalking this up as the Lakers are winning?
No, we're just saying that, you know, because the Clippers could win. I guess the Bucks could bust the math with one star and win, but no one else.
Clippers-Lakers could be really good.
It should be. The Clippers have the best roster in the NBA.
Yeah. So you keep saying. We'll see.
They do. I don't know if they're going to win it. I don't trust Paul George.
Yeah, exactly.
Why could go down? Why playing every other day? No.
They need to bring in Joe Young. Paul George hasn't been good since Joe Young wasn't on his roster anymore.
That is true.
Yeah.
I do love the stat that Paul George has been the worst 3-game stretch of someone shooting 10 shots per game more than like 1960 Bob Cousy.
Yeah, since like black and white days.
And if you look up Bob Cousy, that's just how he always shot.
Yeah.
And if you look up Bob Cousy highlights, like, and here's the magician, Bob Cousy, taking out on the Los Angeles Lakers as he just dribbles with his right hand over and over and over again to the cup. Oh, 16-foot shot. Bob Cousy off to the side. Bill Russell layup.
Cousy from downtown. He shoots an 8-footer off the glass.
Yeah, from deep.
No, the Minneapolis Lakers line. Also back.
Yeah.
That's how old it was.
Exactly. All right, so before we get to list and trivia, we should probably hit on a couple of football things. One, so the Niners, I think, basically, I saw something about all of the West Coast teams, basically. Seattle might not have been included in that, but announcing that they were not going to have fans in their stadiums at all. So it was like the Rams, Chargers, Niners – and I didn't see Seattle, but they basically all said, we're planning on playing on time. We're not going to have any fans. We'll figure out more as the season goes on. And then that got me thinking, we're 2.5 weeks away from the 49ers playing their first game. And so normally we have this, you know, month-long buildup with these bullshit preseason games. They're doing all these talking points, yada, yada, yada. We've been talking about it the last couple weeks. The NFL season is going to, like, hit us in the side of the head. Like the NBA playoffs are going to be going on, and then, boom, all of a sudden, NFL season has started. And I'm not sure that we're emotionally ready for the NFL season right now and what the hell that's going to look like.
The Chiefs and Texans play in 15 days.
15 days!
And the Chiefs haven't made...
Hang on. You got to fucking get this right. If you're going to be talking about your Chiefs, you got to get it right. The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
The future, the past, the present, and the future Kansas City Chiefs are kicking off in 15 days.
Yeah, future 10-time NFL champions.
God, it feels good. Woo! I'm at the point now, I don't even need to watch the regular season. Get me to January, Busters.
There's such a lock. There's such a playoff lock.
There's a storied history already.
Yeah, who are we going to beat in the first round? Titans? Sure, whatever. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's funny. First round of the playoffs. That's funny. you guys are getting the bye anyway, so it's not like a
mess. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're on that Patriots plan now where we beat a Tennessee or Jets in the division round, and they get a host in the championship.
Except you guys actually have talented players around your Hall of Fame quarterback.
This is true.
So that's
going to be a couple more years.
Yes. I mean, Kelsey did get paid, you know, like the second best tight end in the NFL. It's cool.
Number one fantasy quarterback, Travis Kelsey, in your face. Block that.
Block it.
Are these games going to be good?
Good question.
There's going to be you have four preseason games. All of a sudden, you're just going to throw them out and say, all right, seasons go.
I mean, call me a hot take artist. I think the Patrick Mahomes-led offense will be aesthetically pleasing against the Houston Texans.
It's always defense more that's got catches up or that's got to catch up.
Right, yeah.
But that means hammer overs, I guess, for these first couple weeks.
I'm interested to see. I don't think the Chiefs have announced if they're having fans.
The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs announced if they're having fans.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to be humble. Past, present, future Kansas City Chiefs.
Rings. Maybe not the past part.
Hey, last February was the past. Just saying.
technically, every moment from here on out is the past. happened in the past.
No, maybe. Jeez, you know, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and all of a sudden the world goes to hell. I mean, I'm just saying. Maybe.
Correlation there?
Maybe. Causation, correlation.
Ooh.
But I don't know if the Chiefs have announced. I haven't seen it, if they're having fans or not. But they're having fans. They've had fans in Arrowhead for training camp things. And it's so weird. And it is. It's families. It has to be a family, only three, and there's 1,000 people in there total. I mean, it's not a lot, but it still looks really bizarre.
Just that amount of fans, or that there's fans at all?
There's really any, because my thing is, why are you letting in 900 fans for training camp? Who cares?
Yeah.
But I saw this morning
they're recouping the millions they're losing in attendance during the season by letting them into training camp.
That the University of Alabama Birmingham
UAB
and the Miami Hurricanes when are they playing doesn't matter, playing in a couple of weeks, let's just.
So college football is happening in a couple of weeks.
But they're letting in 13,000 people in Hard Rock Cafe. Hard Rock Stadium, excuse me.
I was going to say, is that where they're playing the game too?
On September 10th.
Hey, the NCAA is not going to sanction this. We got to play it somewhere. They just go to the parking lot of a Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes. Oh God. Is that game? So
you're a week out. September 3rd. Is that?
Is it the 3rd?
The 3rd.
That's a week.
God.
That's a week out.
Good God.
This is the.
I just love the idea, and I know there's difference in TV contracts. I get it, but just visually, it is funny to me that teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, no fans. New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers, no fans. Dallas Cowboys, they haven't announced anything, but it doesn't sound like a lot of fans.
The UAB Blazers?
But the University of Alabama Birmingham Blazers, a school that dropped football a couple years ago and brought it back, is going face for – it's only 13,000. I get it. But it's just funny to me. They're going, hey, you want to know where the sixth most deaths have been in the United States? Dade County. Let's go play a football game there.
Good idea.
Was it 9,000 kids who just went back to school in 2 weeks tested positive for COVID? 9,000 kids. So, by the way, that's like you – because you have to quarantine everybody around those kids. So that's everyone, right? Like 9,000 kids in a district? Like, that's everyone, right?
Well, and, you know, taking it back to college football, you've seen the story about Texas Tech has 21 players who just popped hot. Oklahoma has Lincoln Riley didn't say.
Yeah, he said an entire position group except for one kid tested positive.
It's probably not quarterback or running backs. He said something like there has to be multiple. Yeah, there has to be multiple on the field, but all but one tested positive. And that's the thing with this is I've beat this to death. You got the Clay Travises out there. And unless you turn into the Loch Ness Monster and bite your grandma's head off with COVID, it's no big deal to him.
Yeah.
He that's his position he chose. He's dug in. He said there'd be 230 deaths in the United States. He was quite clearly wrong, but somehow is still an authority on this figure.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about playing these games is even from not even a long-term healthcare is if it's Oklahoma and Texas or let's just even say they get to a college football playoff and the week of Oklahoma and Georgia. Oh, we don't have any offensive linemen.
Now what?
What? You know,
you cancel the game
and you do that even in week four. And it's not like baseball where there's a million. I know it's condensed, so there's not really a million days, but they can play double headers and stuff in college football or even the NFL, but whatever. There's just a finite amount of days, which it's – I don't know. We'll see. Good luck. Good luck to them.
Well, this is why the NFL was so scared about. This is why they – all their quarterbacks, like, they can't get within, like, 100 feet of each other. They just have them completely separate from each other because if one of them – if you have them together, one goes down, all of a sudden, like you said, what do you do?
Yeah. You can't have a quarterback room, you know? Yeah. Has anybody been watching Hard Knocks?
No, I feel like who am I watching Hard Knocks for?
Well, Justin Herbert.
Well, sure, who is not exciting.
No.
Personality. No. He's just not. We've seen Jared Goff on Hard Knocks.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, though, is who have they been doing meeting rooms and stuff?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I know there's been two, and I've been telling myself to watch it, but I probably won't.
Yeah, same. I don't have HBO or access to HBO anymore.
I feel like you're probably not missing much.
Yeah, I used to be able to use my buddy's password for it, but now when you log into Xfinity to use that login, if it's attached to your Wi-Fi, it automatically tries to log in as you for that, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you're just kind of it has to be your Wi-Fi that you are paying for through Xfinity, also tied to the cable. They finally figured out a way, man. Jackasses.
What do you think happens if, let's say, Clemson or Alabama, all of a sudden, their entire starting O-line pops, right? And they're out 2 weeks.
You cancel the game. You have to.
They have been the big proponents of, like, we got to play these games. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, you know, it would happen to them where
– what are you going to do, Nick Saban? Are you going to move defensive tackles to the offensive line to get your quarterback killed? Is that what you're going to do? Of course you're not. You're going to cancel a game. You shouldn't even be playing them in the first place, you idiot.
Well, that's the whole thing is, oh, you know, the season must happen until, you know, if something like this happened to one of those teams, they would try to get those games canceled so fast. They wouldn't want to get, I mean, backup offensive line trying to protect Lawrence against a decent team. He'd get murdered.
Yes, he would. Especially that team. Yeah, and now we're starting to see kind of the repercussions for, you know, Pac-12 schools and, you know, Big Ten schools as a bunch of Pac-12 players have entered the transfer protocol just looking to play a fall season of any kind. Because if they're not – if they're, you know, if they're NFL prospects, even prospects, then they feel that they have a better chance of improving their stock by playing even three or four games than zero games. And so, you know, I think it was the UCLA's starting tackle for the last 2 years entered the transfer protocol looking to go play somewhere. USC had a guy So just guys all over the place right now are basically just saying they're transferring. So that's going to be commonplace. And keep your ear to the recruiting trail because these kids who are being recruited right now might actually play right away when they come in because a lot of guys are just going to be gone next year.
I saw something a couple days ago. I think it's the brother of Dawson Jaramillo, the Ducks O-lineman. Mm-hmm. He is, him and his mom, maybe just those two, are moving to Texas so he could play high school football his senior year.
I mean, hasn't Texas – okay, I am treading lightly here. We're talking about a high school student, okay?
Yeah.
So I am treading lightly here because I don't want to be an asshole?
A minor.
But hasn't Texas high school football already, like, started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And is he a guy that's just going to drop into Austin Westlake and play?
All of a sudden, out of nowhere? Like, yeah.
Well, clearly he might not be good enough to, you know, sit out the year because he's already highly recruited. So he needs to play to get those recruitments going.
By the way,
I don't think he's highly recruited.
By the way, can you?
I think he's a Mountain West guy.
Can you imagine being that financially and like time secure where you can just drop everything at the end of August and just move to Texas? It's like, fuck it. I'm going to go take my kid and live in Texas for 3 months so he can play high school football. You're going to do – No, you're not. Like, really? That's what you're doing right now.
Talk about white privilege.
Jesus.
Isn't he from Laco? That feels like a Laco thing.
Really does.
Yeah.
Hey,
they'll rent out their lakefront house. They'll Airbnb it for 3 months.
But I'm not surprised. I figured there'd be a lot of kids doing shit like this.
Yeah.
Especially, like I was saying, guys that, you know, need to get more exposure because they're not highly recruited right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, if you're a fringe scholarship guy, you probably need to do it.
You can't waste a year of no one seeing you. You have to get out there.
You
got to play.
You do have to go. You do have to go.
Yeah, the camps aren't going to be enough, and also the camps aren't going to happen. So there's that, too. By the way,
it probably will happen in Texas.
A bigger cesspool of germs and disgusting liquids there is not than a college football camp.
Woo.
Jesus. And if anybody out there has ever been to one, you know exactly what I'm saying. Real quick before we move on to our stuff, White Sox pitcher Lucas Giolito just no-hit the Pirates.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
The 13th no-hitter in White Sox history. Or no, the most strikeouts in a no-hitter in White Sox history. Struck out 13. Yes, sir.
Come on, Jermaine.
That's a thing that we mention and then don't talk about because nobody gives a fuck about the White Sox.
Hey, the White Sox got one of the best lineups in baseball.
You don't give a fuck about the White Sox. Stop it.
Hey, they have Eloy something who played.
Eloy Jimenez. Yeah. Eugene Emerald's fame. You just made me sad.
He was there for like. It's like Corey Spangenberg. I think he was there for like a week and a half.
Remember the car?
What a name drop.
You like that Spangenberg? I don't even know if he's still in the bigs.
He's a starter. Hey, he's their starting second baseman, I'm pretty sure. All right, to our list. King, what's our list?
Top three banana products.
This fucking random list. I love it. There was talk of doing a serious list. And then
it was too serious.
Too serious. We
I think
can't
we covered it.
It
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. All right, who's going to start?
I'll start, but I didn't go, well.
Wait,
mine's all banana related. At least.
That's cool. Mine is right. Two. Mine is right. Two. We should preface this by saying that numbers 1, 2, and 3 are bananas.
Yes, they're bananas.
Because bananas themselves are fantastic. So
my number 3 favorite banana is the Savannah Bananas of the Coastal Plains League. I think they came around, they're only established in 2017, but have sold out every game.
The Savannah Bananas?
The Savannah Bananas.
That's a beautiful name. All right, I'll go 3. My number 3 is banana bread. Ooh. Can't mess with a good banana bread, fellas.
Nope.
I made some a few weeks ago that I put blueberries in.
Hey, this is getting fucking fancy.
Isn't that blueberry bread?
Yeah, it's no. Banana, it's banana blueberry bread.
Banana berry bread?
Banana. Which, by the way, did you know that bananas are in fact berries? That's a thing. Look it up.
Did not know that.
If you don't know, now you know.
Did you know?
Yeah. The more you know. Do
just completely steal that from them. Yeah. From the Brothers Sklar.
Oh man.
I don't know if they do that on their podcast or not, but
I don't think so. All right, go.
My number 3 banana is the 2005 Jack Johnson classic song, Banana Pancakes.
Classic, yeah. Uh-huh. Remember when people were really into him for a few years?
He's pretty chill.
I thought he was going to have like a fish following, you know? Where it's going to be a bunch of... You just kind of go from like college chick age and just kind of stay there. And he just, no matter how old he got, it'd just be the same group of females who just like Jack Johnson for some reason.
I wouldn't declare that dream dead yet.
Yeah, still going?
I think it's still going.
Not great. Not great. So, Ski, right?
Yep. All right. My number 2 is the strip of bananas from Mario Kart 64. Because they would lay waste across the track.
Yes, they would. Yeah, and then you drop the random ones too. I mean, you'd always be pissed off about getting the one banana, but then you drop it in the spot, and then, you know, 3 laps later, you fuck over somebody with it. You're like, oh, I did that on purpose.
If you go full, like, pro gamer mode, you could launch the banana, single banana forward in front of someone if you got the skills.
Okay. Can you send us a picture? Of the kid who's moving to Texas to play high school football.
I would say he's
a Texan.
Yeah, he's gonna fit in just fine.
Yeah.
Oh crap! I had my thing pulled up on my phone. Okay, there we go. My number 2 is Banana Republic.
Ooh, nice.
The old B-Rep. Mm-hmm. Go get you some overpriced button-up shirts. Don't look that great, but you can get a lot of them. That's it.
My number 2 all-time banana, the banana hammock.
Oh, that's my number 1. That's wonderful. If you don't know what a banana hammock is, Google it. Suckers. All right, Ski.
My number 1 banana-related thing is the 1986 hit Venus by Bananarama.
God damn it.
This is what happens when we go off of things that are just not food-related.
You win. You win. You win. That's good. So I already got my number one. What's your one, King?
My number one banana related thing is Oregon's banana belt. Because of its mild climate in relation to the rest of the coast, large communities in the region, Brooks Harding Harbor, I don't know, and Gold Beach, Brooks something, and Gold Beach. I know there's Gold Beach.
It's a banana belt. Sounds like a thing. I believe you.
You ever been down there?
Probably.
It's warm. It's warm.
All right. Yeah. I'm about to go to Crater Lake for the first time.
Overrated.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, it's cool. It's one of the. Are you driving down there for just the day or?
We're camping two nights.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's such a drive. Yeah. If you just go and look at it and drive right back, you're like.
You're disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
All right. Cool. Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll see. And we all did our number ones. Okay. So, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so let's move on to a theme in that they share a color. And King,
oh,
and, yeah.
Their color is gold.
Excuse me. So the Los Angeles Lakers trivia, as they are about to rip out the hearts of our Portland Trailblazers. King, or I guess not Kings, because King's a big fan.
Hey, we got some corn from our garden.
Hell yeah!
All right, throwing it back.
Throwing it back. Yeah, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Sorry, it doesn't fit the weight. King, by the way, he literally just had corn handed to him. So yeah. If people are wondering what the hell we're talking about. Surprised you didn't just eat the corn for the trip.
Quarantine corn.
Nice.
We ate some quarantine potatoes the other day.
Quarantine taters.
Pretty good.
Hell to the yeah.
Yeah.
Good work, my friend. So that's a first garden update we've had in a while.
Yeah, some quarantine spuds.
The corn and the taters are flourishing.
Are you a throw corn right on the grill guy, or are you are you the new sous vide corn guy?
I like to boil myself. I boil.
I'm a sous vide. I'm a sous vide snob. Yes. With corn. It's really good.
What's a sous what?
Sous vide.
A sous vide is a French way of cooking where you put your food in a temperature-specific water bath for a certain amount of time to achieve optimum temperature control.
I just throw that shit in boiling water. Is that the same thing?
It's close.
Okay. Then we do the same
thing. How do you do your corn, Ski?
I put it in the microwave. You pussy.
I don't got 4 hours to water bath some fucking corn when you can throw it on a grill for 30 seconds.
In fairness, it's like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like the slow cooker. You time it up with the slow cooker.
Yeah.
4 hours in the slow cooker, 4 hours to warm up this corn slowly.
Listen, sous vide is a very good technique for meat. I will say for that. Meat, I will go to bat. Doing corn on the cob and the sous vide is a little extra. I do it. I'm guilty. It's a little extra.
You can do it. You might as well do it. All right, who won trivia last week? Was that you, King?
That was me.
Ski Monks, I fucked up the last question.
That's right.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, baby.
Mark Curry. Screwed it up.
That's right. Mark Curry. That's right. You called him Mark Cooper. Shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have done it.
Cooper! I mean, give me a break. Jerry Seinfeld's last name isn't Smith. Bill Cosby's last name isn't, like, Colbert. The Colbert Show, his last name isn't really Colbert. I mean, come on! Give me a break.
All right, so Ski, you get to go first. You get no breaks, by the way. We're just like powering through that. Lakers trivia. The Minneapolis Lakers were not actually the first iteration of the franchise. They actually started out as the Gems, a NBL team which folded after one season, which they went 4-40. They were then purchased, renamed, and moved. The rest is history. But in which city did the Gems play in that 1946 season?
Wow, that was an unrighteous record for the Gems.
Yeah, I got it.
The Gem.
Yeah, got it.
It's been a while since I was on, so.
It has been.
What is it?
The Gems. I'm going to go with fucking Reno.
That would be great. It's incorrect, though. All right, King, your options. Chicago, Detroit, or Racine?
Racine.
It is Detroit. What? Nobody gets that one. They were the Detroit.
They weren't crosstown rivals with the Raisins?
They were not. All right, so let's see. This is King. Pretty much as soon as they moved to Minneapolis, they were successful, thanks to George Mikan being taller than everyone else on Earth. How many titles did they win in Minneapolis?
Three.
Incorrect. Your option, Ski. Three, seven, or five?
Five.
It is five.
Yeah.
One nothing. Let's see, Ski. How many rings did Shaq and Kobe win before Phil Jackson was named Lakers coach in 1999? Well, then it sounds like there's a car running in the background.
Right. Shit. One.
Incorrect.
Zero.
Zero is correct. Yep.
Come on, Ski.
Come on, Ski. Figure it out. It was a layup. Which Hall of Famer, King, did the Lakers draft twice? The 14th round in 56 and the first overall pick in 58. Hall of Famer.
Jerry West.
Incorrect. Ski, your options. Jerry West, Gail Goodrich, or Elgin Baylor?
I'm going to go Elgin Baylor.
That is correct. Originally drafted out of Baylor, then opted to stay in school and led Seattle University to an NCAA title game loss in 58. Then got drafted by the Lakers again. All right, so Ski, which Lakers center was so dominant defensively that the NBA was forced to introduce goaltending?
God, when would that have been?
They've had a few good centers.
I was going to say, it's got to be someone old. Is it Wilt or is it going to be – I'm going to say George Mikan.
That is correct. Good work. They also widened the foul lane because of him. That's known as the Mikan rule. King, you were down 3-1. You got some work to do, son. Lifelong Lakers fan over here.
I'm getting 1940s questions.
Don't call me. I mean, he just got George Mikan.
I got the pre-Minneapolis Lakers question.
You did.
You had two options. I mean, come on.
King, which Lakers Hall of Famer skipped his senior year of college to play for the Harlem Globetrotters because the NBA required you to graduate school? Globetrotters. And then he like would go back later in his career and do skits with them and stuff randomly.
I have no idea. What?
It was back in the day when they were really big, the Globetrotters.
I have no idea.
I actually knew this one before I looked it up. Take a guess.
Jerry West.
Incorrect. Ski, your options. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, or Bob McAdoo?
Wilt.
That is correct. Wilt Chamberlain played for the Harlem Globetrotters for a year while he was in college. That is crazy. Or while he was supposed to be in college. Ski, who was the first Laker to win NBA MVP?
Jerry West.
Incorrect. King, your options. Kareem, George Mikan, Jerry West.
George Mikan.
Incorrect. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Then how is George Mikan a Hall of Famer if he never won a fucking MVP?
Good question. Because they introduced the MVP award in 55 and 56. And Kareem actually, he won it in 75-76. He had previously won twice with the Bucks. And then Wilt won three of them, but he was with the Sixers at the time. So there you go. Nobody got that one. So
is there any like post-Vietnam like questions involved here, or is it a?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking like Jim Crow era Lakers.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you one right now, though. Or am I? King, who is the Lakers' all-time leader in turnovers?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Nope. Your option, Ski.
Danny Green.
What's that? Oh, no. Your option.
Danny Green. That was not the answer.
James Worthy, Kobe Bryant, or Magic Johnson?
Magic.
It is actually Kobe Bryant.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Probably should have known that. The guy wasn't very efficient.
Yeah. Ski, which Lakers legend holds the NBA record for personal fouls? 4,657.
Oh, looks like a good fouler. James Worthy. He looks like he fouls a lot.
What is that supposed to mean? He looks like he fouls a lot. Enforcer. No. That is incorrect. King, your options. Kareem, Wilt, or Vlade Divac?
Oh, Jesus.
You Kareem. Should get this. Yes, it's Kareem.
He played forever. That's why I said it.
He played a billion years. Yes. Yeah. All right, King. Trailing 4-2. Who was the leading scorer and headliner the Lakers got from Miami when they traded Shaq to the Heat in 2004? He was a leading scorer for the Heat the previous year. Or in the trade. Leading scorer in the trade.
Ooh.
They got three players and a draft pick.
Caron Butler?
Ooh, incorrect.
Ooh, good guess, though.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Yes. Your options, Caron Butler, Brian Grant, Lamar Odom.
Gotta be Odom.
That is correct, and you are the winner.
I want to give King a half point for the Caron.
Kind of teed that one up for him, too, at the end.
So – Lamar Odom had a couple stints? No, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. I'm piecing it together now. Clippers, Heat, Lakers, got it.
Yeah. All right, last one. Who did the Lakers trade to the Hornets in exchange for Kobe?
Vlade Divac.
Yes, they did, yeah. You got that one. I'm going to give you a point, but you still lost 5-3. All right.
I'm saying that's 5-4 because we're doing this on aggregate. So that's an important an important goal to get in garbage time.
I mean, and you also won the list segment as far as I'm concerned. So now we're just tied.
Wow. Right? Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, now we got to go to a runoff here.
I'm loving this Euro model.
I know. I'm feeling after this trivia kind of like I'm feeling after the last Blazers game. Kind of dejected.
And are you going to watch any? Oh, you'll be gone. Are you guys I'll both going to be gone? Yeah, I'm not watching tomorrow.
Yeah. Why would – I mean, they just got – they gave up, was it 43 in the first quarter with Dame on the floor? How are they going to do without Dame and the players having quit? The players quit, by the way. That's something we should – by the way, burying the lead here. The fucking Blazers quit. Like, in that fourth quarter when they were all gassed, they were done. Like, you could tell after they lost that game, they were done. I don't want to play the Lakers anymore. I'm good.
Yeah, they're done. Yeah.
Yeah. They're only 14-point favorites. Doesn't that seem
they're
like the
14?
Play? Yeah.
They were 6.5 yesterday. Like, yeah. Wow.
And 14 seems, like, low. I know Vegas wouldn't ever want to push something like 20.
Yeah, they're not doing that in a playoff game.
It should be up over 20.
They're not doing that in a playoff game. Vegas is not going to put that big of a number. They could. How much did the Lakers win by last game?
16? 24? I don't remember.
Wasn't it like 135, 118 or something?
135, 115.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, 135, 115, so 20. And again, you know, the game they won before that, they won by 8. And it feels like a whole bunch more. So that's why Vegas will not put huge numbers up, is because there's always garbage time.
Garbage time. You
always make it close. Or close, quote unquote. 20 points is not
close. To the spread.
Yeah. Yeah, spread-wise, they make it close. Ah, game before that was ugly, too. Ugh. What a series. At least they got their one.
Always have game one.
Yeah, always have game one.